This is fresh water here.
Okay, great. Amen. Well, that is a big auditorium in Winkler. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's a big auditorium, so she's got her work cut out for her for sure. Amen. Well, it was good to hear. Good to hear that letter. I know somebody that I don't know, but I do know the ministry there in Winkler, and I know the college, and my son is attending college there as well, and his wife and his little girl. So, what good to hear. In a sense, news for you was kind of nice to hear the news from us anyway. So, for us anyway. So, great. Let me just mention real quick, I have a ledge back there where prayer cards are. I just have a little business type card made up with my wife and I's name on it and some information and what have you, just a little bit of information there and email and what have you. And I've put a few of those back. If you're inclined to give us a word of prayer as the Lord leads you, you could use that as a reminder possibly, and we'd certainly appreciate any prayer going our way. We'll just want to say this is always somewhat of a tough time for preachers such as myself travel through ministries. You know, 3 or 4 days, you've really started to make some great friendships, some relationships that, because of Jesus Christ, they build quickly and they get deep pretty quick. And just about the time where it's you know, really, you know, deep in your heart is about the time that we move along and we go back to the Lord has called us to do, or begin that path anyways back to what the Lord's called us to do, and we have to say goodbye. And of all the difficult things in the ministry, or especially mission work, saying goodbye has to have been one of the most difficult things through the years. And, you know, I'm not looking forward to saying goodbye to you this evening. I realize it's so long, because we will see you again. It may be, as they say, here or there or in the air. Somewhere we will meet again, I'm sure. And it's just been a blessing for us to be here and to get to know you and to fellowship with you. And thank you so much for... Pastor, the invitation to come, and the way this has all worked out, we've certainly enjoyed the church and you folks, and we hope and pray that as the Lord brings you across us across your mind, that you'll pray for us and think of us. Communicate with us if you feel like you to do so. There's email addresses and different things on that card that you can keep in touch with us. We'd love to stay in touch through all of the modern electronic fun stuff that's out there, and that would be great. And if you like to do old-fashioned letters, my wife is an old-fashioned letter person. She likes to write letters and notes and cards, and she likes to take pictures and have them printed out and put in a photo album. I mean, that's you come into our house and there are photo albums. It's just all like something from another century. It really is. But we do ask you to pray for us and keep in touch with us. We hope and pray that you'll remember us, and you'll be thankful for the time that the Lord's allowed us to be together. We certainly are thankful, and my wife has enjoyed herself. A lot of times ladies can be stressed and pushed because of schedules and whatever, But Lois has enjoyed herself here, and so on her behalf, let me say thank you as well. We certainly have enjoyed the area as well, too. My wife gave the ultimate final compliment about Kamloops. Today, we were preparing for the day, and she was doing her hair, and she says, "I think it's impossible to have a bad hair day here in Kamloops." Now, apparently that has something to do with the humidity, I don't know, but it's a done deal. I mean, should the Lord remove us from the Arctic, you're going to have a new face around here, because my wife doesn't have bad hair days here. Now, don't look at her hair and judge her. You know as well as I do that when a woman says good hair day or bad hair day, you have no input, guys. You can say, "It's beautiful, honey." She'll stare you down and tell you, "No, it's not." And don't you dare agree that, "No, it's not." You just smile and wave, and that's the end of it. So she was quite impressed, and she told her friend that on, she texted her friend while she was doing her hair, and told her, and her friend said, "I'm on my way." So if you're in the tourism end in Kamloops, just add that in there somewhere. No bad hair days in Kamloops, and you'll have a flood of female tourists here. Oh, I got a kick out of that today, and I've chuckled about it all day, thinking of no bad hair days. Amen. Well, God is good. Yeah. Amen. All right. If you would take your Bible, please, and do what we've done all these days that I've been here in the evening, anyways, find two places. The first place is if you would find John chapter number 17. Actually, John chapter 18 is where we'll start. John chapter 18, the Gospel of John chapter 18. Put your hand there or a paper there or something, marker. We'll go there second. But as we have done before, we want to start in Malachi chapter number 3. In verse 10. So again, those two passages are John chapter 18, and holding your place there, look in Malachi chapter number 3 and in verse number 10. I will read this evening Malachi 3:10. And then I'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll proceed with the message that the Lord's given me to share with you tonight. Malachi 3:10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to fellowship and enjoy friendship and to have joy based around the right kind of things. And we are very thankful for that. We ask that as we proceed with the preaching now, your blessings would be upon the word. Keep me out of the way. Allow, Lord, your spirit to move freely among the congregation, and yea, even to the preacher behind this pulpit tonight. Bring to us guidance and conviction. Show us correction. Show us the right choices. And I pray, Father, that at the end of the evening and the end and the culmination of this meeting, series of meetings, that it would have been profitable for us and honoring to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I look at this passage of Scripture, and I want to focus on something in that phrase again. But I want to look at verse number 11 with you and allow you to look at the blessings that God has promised, in that they are not just simply monetarily But look in verse number 7, and the Bible says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." Now that is a mouthful. That is a huge, huge promise for those who will be obedient to the Lord and will accept His direction in our life. That is a huge, huge statement. "I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, and ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." These are great, great promises. And our obedience to the Lord and our willingness to accept His direction in our life and accept to test Him and try Him on some of these hard things, I believe are just great promises if we'll just simply prove Him herewith. But I want you to notice one word in that phrase that we focused on, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts." I want you to look at that simple word, "me," and you know who that refers to. That refers to the Lord God. This is who we're dealing with. We're dealing with the Lord God, the Creator God. He says, "Prove me now herewith." It doesn't say, "Try the church out." It doesn't say, "Try Christianity out." It doesn't say, "Try this theory or philosophy out." We are challenged by the Lord to try Him, to focus upon obedience to Him and stepping out by faith for the Lord God, for His purposes. And whenever you do that, whenever you begin to focus on the Lord, the truth of love now enters into this equation. We first talked about, "Prove me now herewith." We first talked about exercising faith beyond what might seem reasonable or acceptable or understandable. But tonight's message, I want to complete faith with the thoughts of love tied in with it. I believe that faith is strong, and faith is powerful, and faith is without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith stands alone as powerful and necessary. But I believe that when you tie love into the business of faith, you find it's more complete, it's more thorough, it's something that can be long-lasting fruit that will remain. We know from the great faith chapter in the Bible, the Scripture says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity." That's just for reference's sake, 1 Corinthians 13:13. "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Now, I'm very careful not to replace the word charity with the word love. I'm not doing that at all. But charity is the supreme love. Charity is a love that goes beyond just simply the simple love that seems to be so prevalent in our society today. And so there is seemingly, according to that passage of Scripture, something that is superior to and is a complement to faith. And that would be love. Now, in the Scripture, if you would take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of John now, the Gospel of John, chapter number 18. In just a moment, well, we'll go ahead and look at it at this point. John chapter 18 and verse 10. The scripture says this. It tells us, John 18:10, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear." The servant's name was Malchus. And so we're introduced here, I'm introducing into the message here the name of Simon Peter, because I believe that Simon Peter is quite possibly and probably the one disciple or Bible character that can really personify faith, if I can do it that way. Peter was the one who, back in the book of Matthew, when the Lord Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, he said that, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord told him that God had revealed that to him. But when all others may have been skeptical or slower to respond, and yea, some did say, "Well, some say you're Elias, and some say you're one of these or someone else," Peter was the one that went ahead and by faith spoke out and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I want you to know that at the Transfiguration, in a chapter later, Matthew 17, that there were three guys there, Peter, James, and John. A guy that, as we see in a couple more illustrations, just really begins to prove by his actions about faith, that faith is important, faith is powerful, faith is needed and necessary for the service of the Lord. You know, at one point, Jesus told the disciples to, he asked Peter, he said, "Push out a little ways from land, I want to preach from your boat." And John, and Peter, okay. He said, "Okay, I'm tired. I've been fishing all night, but okay, I'll believe you. I'll trust you." And he pushes out, and the Lord preaches from there. And then he says, "Now let's go out again and let's get fish." "Well, Master, I've toiled all night and we've caught nothing." He said, "That's okay. Just go out again." He didn't say it, but I'm wondering if he would have thought, "I'm a seasoned fisherman. This is my life. I know when there's fish out there, and I know when they're not out there. Nevertheless, at thy word." He put the net on the other side was one of the times, and he drew in a great amount of fish. He just, by faith, trusted Jesus when Jesus told him what to do. Peter was the one who walked on water. "If it be thou, bid me to come to you." And he literally, and you just forgive me for being still amazed by that, he literally stepped out and walked on the water. No record of that is anywhere else. That was an extreme measure of faith to look to the Savior and walk out on that water. A seasoned fisherman had seen it all through the years of being out on the Sea of Galilee. And he said, "I want to walk on the water too." And the Lord called him. All the other guys were sitting in the boat, and Peter steps out by faith. A lot of people say, "Well, yeah, but he looked at the wind and the waves and he began to sink." Yeah, but he got back to the boat somehow, and we don't know how that is. Either he regained faith as the Lord reached down and saved him. Either he regained faith or walked back, or Christ carried him. Either way is fine with me. That's still a wonderful thing either way. But he was Mr. Faith. In my understanding, we read here in Scripture that he decides that he's going to take things into his own hands. Maybe his faith needs a little bit of work, because he pulls out the sword and he cuts off the ear of the servant's the high priest's servant, and it shows to me that Mr. Faith needs a little bit of work. Now let me just stop there and let me say, I'm not downplaying faith one bit. We must have faith. But I believe that when we tie love for the Savior, love for God in with our faith, we find a mature faith. We find more power, more grace, more mercy, more understanding, more wisdom. I know a lot of people that are, I don't know a lot of people, I've known some people that were faith-filled that scared me to death. And I know a lot of people that were love-filled that were just didn't have enough backbone. But I'll guarantee you, the people that I know that seem to be giants for the Lord, at least in my understanding, they had a unique combination of an individual of faith and they loved the Lord plainly. You could see both of those aspects in those individuals. And I encourage you this evening as we continue through this to challenge yourself and say, yes, I hope that this week has built your faith. Yes, that you do want to be willing to just trust the Lord in impossible things. But tie in with that a deeper love for the Lord than you've ever known. And you'll find that you'll take a step further. You'll take a step closer to what the Lord really has designed for your life, total victory. Now, I would like you to look, if you would please, back in this passage, John chapter 18. And I'd like to introduce to you the personification of love in the person of John. Look, if you would, let's look in verse number 12. Let's get the whole story here. John 18, 12. Then the band and captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Ananias first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. And so let's look at the picture. We have Mr. Faith. We've established Mr. Faith as Peter. And they're both following Jesus, Peter and John. Now, the scripture, as a student of the Bible, I suppose you probably can understand that John never spoke about himself. With his name, he always referred to the disciple whom Jesus loved. He always referred to the one that laid on Jesus' bosom. He was the man that's how he referred to himself. And so he was the disciple of love, and Peter was the disciple of faith. And so you have Mr. Love and Mr. Faith following Jesus. And the scripture says, and speaking of himself, John says, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Verse number 16, but Peter stood at the door without. Now stop there for a second. So here's the picture. You have Mr. Love and Mr. Faith, and Mr. Faith holds up and stops. But Mr. Love goes all the way in with Jesus to face with Jesus the accusers. And so what we see is that love went all the way when faith fell short. You know, love causes you to do some pretty crazy things. I can remember we were living in North Carolina in the States, and I was trying to go to Bible school, and We had a little, our first child was just a few months old, and my wife's parents would occasionally make trips and from Ohio and pick her up and our little daughter, and they would go back to Ohio and have long weekends and stuff. And I'd finish out the work week. Friday night, I would jump into a little car that was called a Chevette. Does anybody remember a Chevette? Ay, ay, ay. And I would have barely enough money in gas, but I would drive through the night to go back and to be with my wife and my daughter. We'd spend a long weekend or something like that in Ohio with our in-laws and visit my parents. And then when we had to, we'd take off and we'd drive back down to North Carolina and I'd start the whole cycle again. You do some crazy things when you really love somebody. Mr. Faith holds up. He says, wait a minute. I have already got myself in trouble by cutting off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And this doesn't look good as Jesus is going to go in now to the high priest and be interrogated by him. I think I'm going to hold up. But the scripture very clearly says, John, Mr. Love, went all the way in. Have you ever held up short of total obedience to the Lord? I'm sorry. I would have to say I have. And I often wonder, what was the problem? Do I dare challenge myself? Do I have enough guts to tell myself, maybe it's because you just don't have enough love for the Lord that you should? That's a tough thing to say to yourself. But if we're really wanting to be victorious, we've got to be real with ourselves. Oh yeah, I can have the faith to go and move to the Arctic, but why is it sometimes I fail in the Arctic as a missionary? Maybe I just need to love the Lord more. Maybe I need to have a little bit more love for the Lord. You say, don't you love the Inuit people? Don't you love the First Nations people? Well, yes, I do. But that gets old after a while. But my love for Christ won't get old. And I'll continue to do what I need to do for Him. And sometimes, you got to just decide, you know what, I've got, in my life, it's a love problem. Well, let's continue on now in that verse, and let's look at verse number 16. It started out, said, but Peter stood at the door without. And look at this. Then went out that other disciple, John, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Mr. Love goes out, and he gets a hold of Mr. Faith, and he encourages Mr. Faith. He says, come on, Peter. Come on. We need to go in there and stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stand with him. Come on, Peter. And Mr. Faith was drawn in by Mr. Love. Weak faith was brought closer to Christ by love. Oh, I wish I had more faith. What can I do to build my faith? You know, we can have programs and we can have all the willpower in the world and say we're going to read more, we're going to do this more, whatever. You know what, if you want to build your faith, I believe if you just learn how to fall in love with God deeper and deeper and deeper, it will draw your faith past the point that it sometimes gets stalled at. I want my faith to grow. Maybe I need to grow my love first. Maybe all of those things that go all into growing love need to be my game plan. I've been in the pastorate, and I've tried to talk to people, married people, and try to encourage them to get over some rough spots in their marriage and to grow their love. And I'll give them advice. Well, you need to spend time together. You need to do nice things for each other. You need to write love letters. You need to read those love letters. And all of that advice is so practical, but it applies to the Lord as well. Do you just spend time with the Lord? One of the best places I love to pray when I was younger, years ago, I would wander through the woods, a farm that my dad owned. And as a preacher, I used to wander around the pews in the church and the empty seats, just like this. And everybody seems to sit in the same seat, by the way. That's just, we do that. And I'd wonder why, and I'd say, Lord, please bless Brother George, and bless Brother Tommy, and Lord, help Margaret and Moses and their marriage, and pray, Lord, you do something great with Brother Shane. And the more I spent time with the Lord, the more I loved him. The more it seemed as though my love grew, and it seemed that my faith would be able to make it over those rough spots. Well, I want you to look, if you would. I don't want to spend the time on it this evening, but look in verse number 17. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art thou not also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And I don't want to read the rest of it there for time's sake, but you know what happens. He denies Christ. Mr. Faith finds a point in which he just can't keep his commitment. His commitment was, Lord, I'll go with you anywhere. Lord, we'll fight to the death. Now he won't even go in. And you know the story, he denies. And the Bible tells us that, at the end of that is in verse number 26, and one of the servants of the high priest, being a kinsman, whose ear Peter did cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Then Peter denied again, and immediately the cock crew. I think that is safely probably one of the most powerful sermons in the Bible, and it was a rooster that preached it. Great conviction fell upon Peter at that point when he heard that rooster crowing. I'd like you to look at verse number 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of the judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. And so the beginning of the trials and the beginning of the torture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it wasn't long until the Lord was going to be crucified. He was crucified, and the next chapter, chapter number 19, and if you would find verse number 25, the Bible says, Now there stood by Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And so I find, according to the scripture and the harmony of the gospels, that there were three women at the cross, and the only disciple is John, Mr. Love. Love went all the way to the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ was obedient to death, even the death of the cross, and it was love that took him to the cross for you and I. Starting out with, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it was love that went all the way to the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else is there but the ladies. And the only guy there, of all those tough disciples, the sons of thunder, one of them's not there. Tough, hard guys, they're not there. Mr. Faith is not there, only Mr. Love. So I could never do such and such for the Lord. Oh, if you had the right love, you could. Oh, I'm not sure. I could do that. If you had the right love, you could. You would march anywhere for the Lord. Love went all the way to the cross. And I want you to see something else that we find. Verse number 26, the scripture ends with the Lord Jesus. Well, let's read it in entirety so you can follow what I'm going to try to put together in your mind. Verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, that's John, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Notice the continuity of who was mentioned there, John. And he said to his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then, verse 27, then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And so I believe that Jesus was not saying, behold thy son and look at me. But Jesus at that point was making a connection, and I believe it flows from verse 26 to verse 27. He said, John was the only man that was there, besides himself, Jesus on the cross. He said, woman, behold thy son. And then directly, he said to that disciple, behold thy mother. Jesus was about to die, and as the eldest in the family, the care for the widow would have befallen upon the eldest son. And we don't know that Joseph's not in the picture. We don't know where he's at. Quite possibly, Bible scholars believe that he possibly is gone at this point. He's possibly died. That's a total guess. That's not scripture. The point of the matter is, Jesus is passing the responsibility for his mother on to John. That's pretty undeniable. John, this is now your mom. Mom, this guy is now your son. And John's response was, and from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. And John, from that point on, begins to care for Mary. Now, the interesting thing is, if you were to do a Bible study from this point on in through the book of Acts, you wouldn't hear much about John at all in the pages of Scripture. It's very limited. For the next 60 years, you hear very little about John. Why? What's he doing? He's doing what Jesus told him to do. John, the church is being persecuted. Where are you? I'm just doing what Jesus asked me to do. John, we've got doctrinal issues in the church. Where are you? I'm just doing what Jesus asked me to do. That John, I knew he wouldn't stick by the stuff. He didn't come running down and saying, hey, wait a minute. He just did what he was supposed to do and let anybody think what anybody wanted to think. He had one purpose in mind, and that's to fulfill the dying request of the Savior. And he understood that behold thy mother. He understood that transition that went on, because from that hour he took her under his own home. You see, love obeys until the job is done. Have you ever started something? Made a commitment? Made a promise? And then didn't follow through with it? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll be the example, and I'll raise my hand for all of us tonight. I've fallen. I'm short. I've not finished the job before. might have been a love problem in my life. Would you be honest enough before the Spirit of God? Could it have been a love problem in your life as well? Finally, John shows up in the Isle of Patmos, and we know that Revelation and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John are written by him. What a wonderful thing. But for all those years, he was just doing what Jesus wanted him to do, and he obeyed until the job was done. But we start off talking about faith and how that love completes faith. So let's see what happens. Take your Bible, if you would, please, and go over to chapter 21. Chapter 21, John 21, verse 1. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. In this wise, he showed himself. When they were together, Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Here's Mr. Faith again, needing some help. They said unto him, we also go with thee. Boy, sometimes when you don't have the right love, your decisions cannot be helpful to those around you. Then they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now who recognizes Jesus? Now therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. There's love, the superiority of love again. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of charity, that tremendous, ultimate love. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. One of these days I get to heaven, I'm going to say, Lord, why'd you tell us 153? What's the significance of that number? I'm not a big numerology guy, by the way. I'm just curious. 153 great fishes. I'm wondering here. I'm having a senior moment right in the pulpit. But let's go on. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Mr. Love, Mr. Faith, come and dine. The other disciples who were standing aloof and kind of not up with the program, it's okay, come and dine. I've got something for you too. And none of them disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Verse 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and fish and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now here it is, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And so here is the Lord dealing with Mr. Faith in the one part of his life that he needed help, love. And Jesus loved him enough to challenge him directly and ask him, lovest thou me more than these? Jesus knew he had a love problem. But he said, come and die. And he said, I got something for you. Son, do you love me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said, feed my lambs. He said unto him again, second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto thee, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, Thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. And the Lord begins to tell him and explain to him in verse number 18 what would happen to him. He tells the Lord, tells Peter to follow me. 20, then Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And so now, 21, Peter seeing him saith to the Lord, to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And this whole discussion was aimed at God working on Peter and love. Don't worry about other things. Don't worry about the other guy. Do you love me? Do you love me? And Mr. Faith got his love right. They went on then into the book of Acts, and guess who was preaching when thousands were saved? Guess who stood up and said, hey, we're missing a disciple. We need one to replace him. And they chose Matthias. Peter stood up. Whether you believe that was a right thing or a wrong thing, the point of the matter is, he stood up and said, we need to do something. Mr. Faith was complete with love. He preached at Pentecost. Mr. Faith was complete with love. And the first century church was spearheaded by Peter. Now, he wasn't a pope. I'm not even close to going there. I think you know that by now. But Peter was pivotal in that first century church because Mr. Faith got his love right. Oh, if I could just love the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, all my body, all my soul, like Christ challenged us to do so in Matthew. If I could just do that, what could I accomplish? What could stop me? And what could stop you? If you would step out by faith and prove the Lord, but love the Lord enough to take that challenge and to march forward and to do the impossible. Do you love the Lord? Oh, yes, I do. Peter loved the Lord, but it need perfected. And the Lord challenged him one-on-one. Is the Lord challenging you one-on-one? Is your heart burning because you know there's some more love in there to be given to God? Let's have a word of prayer together. Thank you so much for your attention this evening. I am in no wise what someone might call a slick preacher. I don't have the ability to put together a message that would amaze people. But if all you remember is me trying to get you to love the Lord more, I will have accomplished what I've set out to do. And as I pray for you tonight, I pray that you'll do business with God yourself. And then as pastor takes over the service, that you'll continue to promise to love the Lord the right way. Father, so many times love is misunderstood in fundamental ranks. Love is kind of avoided because we don't want to appear soft and wishy-washy and liberal and compromising. And Lord, I think I'm clearly many miles away from that, but I thank you for your love, and I want to learn to love you more. Go ahead, Lord, and challenge me. Sit across the fire and look at me and ask me directly, do I love you? And as I squirm, Lord, don't let me be satisfied with a half-baked answer ask me again. And Lord, even when I get perturbed, ask me again. Because there is something you need for me to do with great faith, perfected by love. And I don't want that job to be passed on to anybody else. I want to honor you with that. And I pray that those who are under the sound of the preaching tonight would join with me and just want to love you more and love you in the right way. In Christ's name we pray and ask it. Amen. Pastor's going to come take charge of the service.